light. So this is what Jesus is going to do for us every day when we wake up and do our prevenient act and decide to live in the divine will without giving life to our own human will anymore. God will also bind us with chains of light. Okay, so this is important. He has to see what you want. He has to give you what you want. So he says, and I do this not so to take away her free will. Free will is a gift given to the soul in creation. What I, God, give once, I, God, never take back unless the creature herself rejects my gifts. So I bind the soul with divine light in such a way that if the soul wants to, she can go out whenever she wants. But in order to go out, she has to make an incredible effort, because these chains of light shall invest all of her acts. In each of her acts, she shall feel and see the divine beauty, the divine grace, the divine richness that this divine light communicates to her acts. So Jesus says, we use our free will to choose. Do I want to continue to live in my miserable human will? Or do I want to live in God's holy divine will? Now, to understand what the free will is, this is what we say our free will is when we go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. That's our human will. So Jesus says, use your free will to choose. Do you want to continue to live this miserable life? Or do you want to live in God's holy divine will? And that's what we do. We say, I no longer want to live in my miserable human will. I want to live in the most holy divine will. So Jesus says, it shall form the enchantment and the true eclipse for the human will in such a way that the soul shall feel divinely happy, divinely honored, to be bound with chains so noble as to bring her so much good, that the soul shall yearn for what is human, to have life no more. We don't want the human will alive anymore in her acts. And shall long with the ardor of the divine volition to take its place. I want to do all my acts in the divine will. And that's the point where we come to. And again, while you do your prevenient act, as you do your actual acts, God begins to change us. God begins to transform us, transmute us. So, the soul shall feel free and bound, but not forced, rather spontaneous of her own human will, and attracted by the great good that comes to the soul, in such a way as to see her acts surrounded by many circles of light that forming chains transform the soul into the light itself. See, this is what God is asking. He wants us to want this so much that we are transformed into light. Again, it's to be in God's image and likeness. And so what he's asking of us is, do you want to continue to live your miserable human will, where every week you go to confession and say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. Or do you want to choose with your free will to live in God's most holy divine will, entering into the life, the light, the love of God? That's what he's asking. Volume 24, June 12, 1928. My daughter Louisa, my divine will can do anything. Just as the divine will made man from nothing, so the divine will can draw the new man from all his miseries. See, that's what's coming. He is going to free us from everything that makes us miserable. And without changing method from the way in which we created him, leaving him his free will, we, Triune God, will use another loving device. It will be the light of our holy divine will. It shall be unleashed its most refulgent rays more strongly, and it shall draw close in such a way as to look at the human will in the face, and it shall receive the enchantment of a penetrating divine light that, while dazzling the soul, sweetly drawing it to itself, and the human will, attracted by a light so radiant and so of such rare beauty, shall have the desire to see what is so beautiful in this light, and in looking it shall undergo the enchantment, and shall feel happy, and shall love, not being forced, but spontaneously, to live in our most holy divine will. That's what's coming. What's coming, Jesus gives us a hint of what's coming. And as you meditate on this paragraph, what you're going to see is that what the Lord has planned all the world, he's going to say to all the world, do you want this? The human will, it'll draw close in such a way as to look the human will in the face, and shall receive the enchantment of a penetrating divine light that, dazzling the human will, sweetly draws the human will to itself, and the human will, attracted by a light so beautiful, so radiant, it shall have the desire to see what is so beautiful in this light. And in looking, it shall undergo the enchantment, and shall feel happy, and shall love, not being forced, but spontaneously, to live in God's most holy divine will. See, what's coming is going to make every Jew, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Muslim, every Protestant say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. That's what's coming. God is going to, he says, I'm going to overwhelm mankind with love, and mankind will not be able to push me away ever again. So what the devil is doing is the devil is causing such horrible things, Jesus has a greater plan. And he's going to overwhelm the world with love. And you get a glimpse of it here in this paragraph, how powerful this is going to be, where everyone will say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. I want this universal life that Adam lost. I want to begin to live this abundant life. That's what God is going to do. And all he's asking of us is that we give our fiat to what he wants. And it's going to happen. The sooner we say yes, the sooner this will happen. Does the light of the sun not have this virtue, that if one wants to fix on it, the pupil of the human eye remains dazzled in the light, and if it tries to look, it shall see nothing but light, and the power of the light prevents the pupil from looking at things around it? And if man is forced to lower his eyes to be freed of the light, it is because of the excess of light that hinders him, and he does not feel happy. But if he felt happy, he would not easily withdraw his pupils from within the light of the sun. On the other hand, the light of my divine will shall not hinder the pupil of the soul. On the contrary, the soul shall have the good of seeing the very human acts converted into divine light, and shall yearn for this divine light to unleash its rays more strongly, so as to see the soul's acts with the enchantment and the divine beauty of this divine light. See, this is in God's image and likeness. This is to do what God does. And how glorious is this? This is what God, this is why we're alive today, to help bring about this new era. Volume 24, July 23rd, 1928. My daughter, the soul in whom my holy divine will is present is the luminous point in the world. Just as the sun can be seen in the vault of the heavens that invests the earth with its rays and penetrating everywhere with its life of light, embellishes colors, fundicates the whole earth, so can another sun, more beautiful, more refulgent, be seen in that point of the world. That is, in the soul in whom my divine will reigns, and its rays extend and expand so much as to embrace everything and everyone. So here Jesus is showing us. He is going to show the world who Luisa is. And this is the reason why every Jew, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Muslim, every Protestant will say, I want to be a baptized Catholic. See, Jesus is talking about Luisa. The soul is Luisa, in whom my divine will is present, is the luminous point in the world. Jesus says that the dawn of a mystery is Luisa. The halo around the saint in heaven is Luisa. The luminous cloud that Jesus descends on is Luisa. And he says, for just as the sun can see under the vaults of heaven, so another sun, more beautiful, more refulgent, can be seen at that point in the world, the luminous point in the world where Luisa is. And it's so much as to embrace everything and everyone. This is Luisa. Again, like I've said before, you should have a picture of Luisa. And you should be able to look at Luisa and say what Jesus said in volume 12. What Jesus said in volume 12, he says, I, God, cannot live without you, Luisa. That's what Jesus said. I, God, cannot live without you, Luisa. If Jesus is saying this, where is our love for little Luisa? If Jesus is saying this, that's why I say, get a picture of Luisa, put it in a place of honor. You have a place of honor of Jesus and Mary. Again, if you want to know who Luisa is, go to volume 17, May 4th, 1925. It shows you very clearly who Luisa Picaretta is and how the world will embrace Luisa. This is so amazing. This is the title. Luisa, the luminous point in the world. Luisa, in whom my divine will reigns. Luisa, the rays extend and expand so much as Luisa embraces everyone and everything. Do we understand how important Luisa Picaretta is? She's not the founder of a religion or a religious life. She has been given the gift of gifts, the life that Adam lost, the true life of Jesus, the new Adam, the true life of Mary, the new Eve. That's who Luisa has, the spiritual DNA of Jesus and Mary, and that's what Jesus wants to see in us. If we're reading, if we're studying, then we're receiving the spiritual DNA of Luisa. And when that is alive in us, Jesus is going to look at us and say, I see Luisa. I see who I gave this gift to in this other soul. And that's why we read Luisa. That's why we're focused on Luisa. Jesus said to Luisa, Luisa, you're nothing but a blade of grass compared to who I am. He says, but I have given you this gift so that others can possess it. It's not for your sanctification. It's for the salvation of the human generations. So what God has given to Luisa, he wants to give to us. And all he's asking is, do you want this? So Jesus says, how beautiful it is to see from heaven these luminous points in the depth of the earth. This is Luisa and the souls linked to Luisa. It no longer seems earth, but it seems like heaven. Because there is the sun of my fiat. Its rays embellish, fundicate, and scatter such variety of divine colors as to communicate the varieties of beauties of the Creator with its life of light. Wherever these luminous points are present, the currents of evil is stopped. See, the devil cannot be there. My divine justice itself feels disarmed by the strength of this light and changes the scourges of the earth into graces. These points are the smiles of the earth. Their light is herald and bearer of peace, of beauty, of sanctity, of life that never dies. They can be called the fortunate points of the earth because in their midst there is the light that never dims, the life that always rises. Where these luminous points are not present, the earth is obscure. And if any good is done, it is like those little lights that have no rays because the source of the light is missing in that good. And therefore, it has no strength or virtue to extend and expand. And since the scourge is missing, they are subject to becoming extinguished, and the earth remains obscured, as though buried in the thick darkness. Because the human will is herald and bearer of evils, bearer of disturbances, bearer of disorder and the like. So here Jesus is saying, I want you to be with Louisa and to become this luminous point of light so that the devil has no control over you, that you begin to live the purity of Jesus, the purity of Mary, to really have this life of Jesus and Mary. Again, this is extraordinary. Volume 24, August 6, 1928. Then I continued my abandonment of the fiat, and my mind was lost in seeing the endlessness of the fiat. It's light that invests everything. It's power that does everything. It's wisdom that order and disposes everything. My poor and little mind wanted to take many things from the endless light and see, but it could take nothing but a few drops. And what is more, with terms that were not human but divine, that my little capacity is unable to reduce into words. But while I was immersed in this sea of light, my beloved Jesus, making himself seen within that light, told me, my daughter Louisa, my most holy divine will is light, and the prerogative and virtue of its light is to empty every passion the soul who lets herself be dominated by it. Every passion is gone. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. In fact, its light places itself within her as center, and with its heat and vivifying light gets rid of any human weight and vivifies and converts everything into seed of light, forming the new life in the soul with no seed of evil. The soul now is all pure, all holy, as she came out of our creative hands in such a way that this fortunate creature cannot fear that she may do harm to anyone. See, it's to begin to live the pure life of Jesus and the pure life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. There's no disorder here. And that's what God is asking for us. In fact, the true light does harm to no one. On the contrary, true light brings to everyone the good that my vivifying light contains. Nor can the soul fear that she might receive any harm, because true light is untouchable even by a shadow of evil. Therefore, she has nothing left to do but to enjoy her fortune and to spread to everyone this divine light that Louisa possesses. And that's what God is doing for us. He's asking us to go to Louisa. He's pleading with us to go to Louisa. Again, there's nothing left to do but to enjoy our fortune and to spread to everyone the light that Louisa possesses. Volume 24, September 21st, 1928. Moreover, the one who lives in our divine will lives of divine light. And with the power of its divine light, our most holy divine will has the virtue of knocking down all evils, of taking life away from passions and dispelling darkness. There's no more evil in the soul who lives in the divine will. Now, no one possesses this yet. And in the souls that say, well, I'm living in the divine will, you should kneel down and adore them, because there's no more evil in them, there's no more passions in them, the darkness has been dispelled. That's why Father Pucci says anybody who says they're living in the divine will is only fooling themselves. Every one of us has to go to confession. You know, all of us are sinners. And what Jesus wants is he wants us to slowly but surely let go of everything. So when the Lord says, now you are living in the divine will, and that will be for many, and that will be after the Pope receives this. The Pope has to live in it first. And then after that, it's everyone else. And where do we see this? We see this in the three appeals. Jesus says very clearly to Louisa, the Pope must be the first one to possess this. Therefore, with its light, the divine will has the virtue of rendering the creature incapable of doing and of receiving any harm. We begin, what will happen is we'll begin to live in the light and the life and the love of God, never to be separated in any way. Who could ever wage war against the light? No one. Who could ever say, I can prevent the passage of light? No one. And if anyone tried to do it, the light would laugh at him, and with its triumphant virtue would invest him, pass him from above and from below and everywhere in making fun of him, while following its course, it would keep him under its power and pressure of light unless he went to hide himself in some dark abyss. He says very clearly, does the Son not do this? Much more so does the Son of my most holy divine will. And the soul, Luisa, who lives in this light, does nothing but expand the capacity of her intelligence to be able to receive more light. And so each act done in my most holy divine fiat forms with its light the void in the human mind to be able to communicate more greater light. So here, again, you're going to see things from a divine perspective. What your human mind cannot comprehend, Jesus says, your human mind will be able to communicate a more greater light. You see what God is doing? He's asking the souls to be in his image and likeness. That's why he's breathing. The first thing he did when he rose from the dead is he breathed in the apostles and said, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And then he breathed on them this Ruach of God, this breath of God. This is what he wants to do again, but more so than what he did with the apostles. The apostles, on that first day of Pentecost, what was it, 5,000 were converted, 3,000 were converted. That's going to be nothing when the second Pentecost happens. People are going to be so overpowered by the love of God, the light of God, the life of God, that they're all going to say, yes, fiat, we want this. Again, we got a glimpse of it in the previous chapter. God wants us to begin to live a life that has never been seen before. To live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. My daughter, he says, just as the light of the sun with one single blow of light gives light to the whole creature in such a way that the same instant with one alone of its acts, it gives light to the gaze, to the mouth, to the hands, to the steps, to everything. Nor does it need to repeat its act of light so many times for as many members as the creature has. But one single act of light is enough for everything, so that each member and object may be its light all to itself. In the same for the acts done in my divine volition. Since they all are children of the light and of my divine will, with one single act, it can make light for everyone. It can extend everywhere, because it is a virtue and a property that the light of my divine fiat possesses within itself, that with one single act, it can give light to everyone, past, present, and future. That's what Luisa has done. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to live in this. I want you to do what Luisa has done. And as we enter into this gift, how glorious it is. If there could be any difference, it is on the part of those who receive it. The one who is disposed takes the good of light and profits from it. The one who is not disposed, even though he feels himself full of light, does not take the good it contains. It happens as to the sun that gives light to everyone. And no one can say, to me it does not give its light. And since all can receive it as they please, it provokes no jealousy. However, there can be a great difference. Some make use of the light in order to work, and they earn their profit. Some enjoy the light and remain idle, earning nothing. Some make use of it to amuse themselves, some to sin. The light does not change, but is always light and performs its office of light. But not all of those who receive it make profit of it or use it in the same way. Such is my divine will. And the acts done in it, they are always divine light. But those who profit from this light are the ones who are disposed. So that's what Jesus is looking for. Do you want this? Are you disposed with your fiat? To be disposed is to say fiat in all situations. And that's what God is looking. How about this situation? Are you going to be peaceful? How about this situation? How about you going to be peaceful? How about this situation? So Jesus is saying, do you trust me? Do you believe in me? Do you have hope in me? Do you have confidence in me? And when we say fiat in all situations, then God says, okay, you passed this test. This is good. Now I'm going to give you more. And again, that's what he's doing. As you read, as you study, the tests become more and more beautiful, more and more intense. And all he's asking is, I'm going to give you as much as you want. That's what God says. How much do you want? I'm going to give as much as you want. And our response, again, is not to limit God, but it's to say to Jesus, fiat, fiat, fiat. My daughter Louisa, as the soul places herself in the acts of doing her act in my divine will, as the soul places herself in the source of its light and forms her own light within it, and if you knew what it means to be able to form light, what glory, what honor for the creature to acquire the virtue of being able to form light. To no one is it given to be able to form light, but only to the one who lives in my most holy divine will. This is a divine act. No one, Jesus, no human is given to be able to form this divine light. No human can do this. This is divine. He says, only the soul, Louisa, who lives in my divine will, can do this. This is why we love Louisa. The closer we get to Louisa, the more we will be able to do what only Louisa can do. But again, God has to see our spiritual DNA of Louisa in us. And where do you get the spiritual DNA? It's from by reading, studying, and putting to practice the truths. In fact, my divine will nourishes the soul with divine light, and the soul feeding on this divine light acquires the gift and the natural property of forming light. And oh, how delightful it is for us, Triune God, to see that the creature within the source of our divine light forms her own, to give it to us, Triune God, and say, adorable majesty, eternal light you are, and light you give me, and I bring you my little light as the greatest homage, the most intense love, that squeezing the sponge of my little being soaked with your divine light may form my light for you to give it back to you, Lord God. See, we possess it and then give it back. We breathe in this I love you. We breathe back out a divine I love you. You let the blood pump into your heart with a divine I love you. You let the blood pump out of your heart with a divine I love you. That's what God is asking. Are you willing to reciprocate this I love you? See, we are nothing. Yet, Jesus is saying, adorable majesty, eternal light you are, and light you give to me. Love you give to me. Life you give to me. May I bring you my little light, my little life, my little love, as the greatest homage, the most intense love, that squeezing the sponge of my little being, soaked with your divine light, soaked with your divine life, soaked with your divine love, may form my light, my life, my love for you, in order to give back to you what is divine. Image and likeness. So many beautiful scenes of light form between the soul and God, and with the harmony of all the colors that the light possesses, what does life not possess? It possesses colors, sweetnesses, fragrances, flavors of all kinds. So the scenes alternate, one more beautiful than the other. Here is then how the living in my divine fiat calls back within itself the beginning of creation and repeats for us, Triune God, the joys and the feasts of the beginning of creation. The creature then enters into our order, into our acts, and gives us, Triune God, joys and happinesses. And we, Triune God, keep impressing our likeness upon her forehead. Again, image and likeness. We have seen the image of God through holy baptism, and we see this with the saints. No one in the history of the church has possessed the likeness of God. No one. Jesus possessed it. He's the Son of God. Mary possessed it. She's the mother of God. But the firstborn, the newborn, Louisa Picaretta, was given this gift. And now Jesus says, I want to give it to you, to us. And all that I ask is that you give your fiat and it's yours. Then learn about it. Study it. Put it into practice. Let me teach you the way of heaven and no longer the way of earth. this is why God asks us to be attentive. He wants to give us this gift. Volume 26, May 9, 1929, when the soul enters into my divine will to live perennial life in the divine will, the enemy, the devil, cannot get close. The devil's sight is dazzled by the light of my fiat, nor is the devil be able to see what the happy creature does in this divine light. This divine light shields itself from everything. It dominates all. It is intangible. It does not let itself be offended, nor does it offend. And if anyone wants to touch it or clasp it in his hands, with enchanting rapidity it escapes, and almost playfully it sprays the devil with light. It touches everything and embraces all to do good to everyone, but does not let itself be touched by anyone. And again, this is important. You know, a lot of people like to lay hands on people. I'm going to pray for you. Well, Scripture says this. If you're sick, you pray for the elders of the church. Another term of elder is presbyter. Another term for presbyter is priest. You pray for the priest of the church to lay hands on you. Paul says to Timothy, remember us laying hands on you. Paul is a bishop. You know, bishops lay hands on the priests. The priests lay hands on the baptized. I anoint you. This is the anointing, which we'll do later on today. We want everybody to be anointed with the oil of Louisa. And the oil of Louisa is found on volume 3, April 23rd, 1900. The oil that came from Louisa's body. And all we've done is we have oil when we put a relic of Louisa in the oil. And we're saying to Jesus, use this oil for healing, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional. But when we are not really allowed to lay hands on people that we're not superior of. A husband and wife can lay hands on each other, lay hands on their children. A doctor can lay hands on the patient. And I ask doctors to anoint patients. And they don't have to, you know, in the name of the Father and of the Son, and I anoint you. You don't have to do that. It's just take a little oil on your thumb, and when you're touching the person, just slight Father, Son, Holy Spirit on the forehead, praying that the person be healed. See, the doctor has been given angels to help in healing. And you know, so you have that authority. But normally nobody else has authority to touch you. It's to be free of touch. I mean, that's why when you read this, again, it's very, very important. Does not let itself be touched by anyone. You know, that's why even holding of hands during the Our Father, the church says don't do this during Holy Mass. It's really not allowed. Well, I feel so comfortable. Well, it's not allowed. You know, you hold hands at home with your family, and you've got to be careful. When a father touches the son and says, "Son," the son listens. You know, there's authority there. You know, we have to understand when the son or daughter is sick and the mother blesses the child, may the Lord bless you and heal you. God is working there. But if you don't have the authority to touch someone, you don't. That's very, 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 very important. That's usually the beginning. When teenagers hold hands, as soon as they hold hands, everything starts to fall apart. Why? Because it's the sharing of spirits. And there's the Holy Spirit, and there's a lot of other spirits. And so we have to be very, very careful. It's not that it's forbidden, but listen to what Jesus says. It does not let itself be touched by anyone. It touches everything. It embraces everyone to do good to all, but does not let itself be touched by anyone. Again, it's very, very important. And when you pray about it, Jesus will show you. You pray, ask for sacred scripture. You could see that the bishop lay hands on the priest to ordain them. The priest lays hands on the sick. to heal them. The parents pray over their children because they have the authority. But other than that, you got to be very, very, very careful. So Jesus says, such is my divine will. It encloses the soul with its divine light, and with its empire, divine empire, it eclipses all evils. And then as the soul lives of divine light, everything converts into divine light. Everything converts into divine sanctity. Everything converts into perennial peace. To see what God is calling us to. He's calling us to enter into heaven while on earth. Volume 29, April 2nd, 1931. Do you want to know how the light of my divine will is formed in your soul? The repeated desires are like many breaths that breathing over your soul call the little flame, the little drops of light, to light up inside of it. And the more intensely you desire, the more it breathes to nourish the little flame and enlarge it even more. If the breath ceases, there is damage that the little flame will be extinguished. So, in order to form the little light, the light of the little flame, true and incessant desires are needed. That's why Jesus says, I am returning for those who long for my return. I remember this one person said to me, you act as if Jesus is coming tomorrow. I said, that's what we want. Yes, we're longing for it. Absolutely. And they said, and the person said, he's not coming tomorrow. And I'm going, how sad. Jesus comes to those who long for him. This is why we spend time for the Blessed Sacrament. We long for him. It's not a time to be reading in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance. It's not a time for praying. It's a time for falling in love with God. We look at him and long for him. We look at him and fall in love with him. Jesus says, so in order to form the little light, the light of the little flame, true and incessant desires are needed. And in order to mature and enlarge the light, love is needed that contains the seed of light. In vain would you breathe with your desire if the inflammable material were missing over your repeated breaths. So who places this little flame in safety in such a way as to render it everlasting with no danger of being extinguished? It is the acts done in my most holy divine will. Come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing. Come, divine will, come beat in my heartbeat. It's the acts done in my holy divine will. They take the material for lighting the little flame of our eternal light, which is not subject to being extinguished. And they keep it always alive, always growing. And the human will before this light eclipses itself and becomes blind. And seeing itself blind, it no longer feels the right to act and gives place to the poor creature. The soul says, I do not want to do this humanly anymore. I want to do this in the divine will. Therefore, do not fear. I, God, myself, shall help you breathe, and we shall breathe together. So the little flame shall be more beautiful and more refulgent. See, it's nothing to worry about. God is going to take care of you. All he's asking is that you give your fiat and watch him work. He says it very clearly. Don't fear. I will help you. I'll help you breathe. We will breathe together. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. And the little flame shall be more beautiful and more refulgent. Volume 29, June 16, 1931. I abandoned all of myself in the supreme fiat, and my poor mind wandered within the supreme fiat, and I remained as though enraptured in seeing before me the divine being, God himself, and an interminable light disposed as many innumerable rays coming out from the center of this light. These rays were very often inverted with little lights, so that were bound to the interminable rays of that adorable majesty, and that seemed to be a birth from the same divine light to nourish themselves with this divine light, to be formed as life of light and grow as God wanted them to grow. There's no death here. And while I was immersed in what was present to my mind, my beloved Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, my divine will, look, this immense light is nothing other than the emanation of our will from the center of our being. And as we pronounced it, the fiat, It extended to form each created thing with its creative strength, and so that nothing may go out from inside its light, it kept within it itself what it issued from our creative hands. So here it is, not separated from God. It's alive because of God. And it's divine. It's not human. Those intertwinings of the rays of our light that you see are nothing other than all created things, and some of them as though in custody with our divine light, so that they may not suffer any change. Others, these are the creatures who live in our divine will, are not only in custody, but in act, receiving continuously from God in order to grow and to nourish themselves with divine light and form with their little lights the intertwining with the very divine will, so as to let it operate in the little light of the soul. So these little lights give field to our divine fiat to render it continuously operating in them. It seems that they give us something to do, and they let us continue the work that with so much love we, Triune God, started in creation. And when the creature gives us the occasion to continue our divine work, giving us, Triune God, freedom to operate within her little light, we, Triune God, are so pleased with the soul that we render the little light operating together with our work, and we do not feel isolated on the part of the creatures, but we enjoy the beauty of her company as she enjoys our own. That's what God is doing. This is, you have to understand, you're going to enter into this life where there's no beginning and there's no end. You're going to enter into this life that is of God. This is why God created us, image and likeness. And what Adam lost the image and likeness, it took Jesus, the Son of God, Mary, the Mother of God, to come to earth to begin the Catholic life again, to begin the universal life again. And through holy baptism, we are now in God's image. The beginning of being sharing in divinity has begun. And now Jesus says, I'm going to crown my church with this gift of the divine will, to begin to live a divine life. This is not good or holy or saintly. This is not what God gave to the saints. It's to begin to live his life on earth as the saints live it in heaven. Volume 30, December 6, 1931. You must know that our most holy divine will is all eyes over the happy soul who wants to live of divine will. And as the soul does her acts, the divine will gives her its bath of divine light. This bath refreshes the soul and makes the soul feel the divine coolings. And since the light, as it forms by its own nature, produces fecundity, sweetness, flavors, colors within its veils of light, so, while in appearance it seems only light, inside it hides so many beautiful riches and innumerable divine qualities, such that no other element can be said to be similar to it. Even more, it is from the light that they implore the fecundity and the good that each element must do in order in which it was placed by God. So here, God is going to see, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. What's coming is going to be so extraordinary. This is divine, not seen by humans. The only human that saw it was Adam before he died. Eve before they were thrown out. The only humans that lived it were Jesus and Mary. And now it's given to Louisa. And Jesus is saying to us, I want you to receive this gift. The light can be called the souls of created things, symbol of our uncreated light and of our divine fiat that emanates everything. And so, with its bath of divine light, as the soul is about to do her acts in the divine will, the soul feels herself being sweetened, bonded, fortified, purified, and invested by the beautiful rainbow of the divine colors that render the soul so graceful, so striking, so beautiful, that God himself feels enraptured by a beauty that is so rare. This bath of light is the light is like the preparation to be able to cross the thresholds and to tear the veil that hides our divine being to the human creatures. More so, since it is our interest that the one, Louisa, who lives in our divine will, be like us, Triune God, and do not a thing that would be unworthy of our majesty, thrice holy. Therefore, think that it is a bath of light that my divine will gives you, Louisa, every time you dispose yourself to do an act, and it's an intermittable light, so that you may be attentive to receive it and be like God. See, he wants us to do what he does. It's not just to be good and holy and saintly. That's the first part of us. God now is asking us to enter into divinity. So we'll stop there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.